Okay, we're hopefully going to finish Rav Pinkus this year. We've tried twice. We'll try a third time. The main idea of this shmooze has been the one of Oros V'Kelim, the light and the vessels. And Hashem sometimes has to take the light away if the vessels are not able to contain the light so that the vessels will not be destroyed. Then he speaks about the Moed of Tisha B'Av, where in a Moed you're able to come close to Hashem. And here on Tisha B'Av, as opposed to us coming close to Hashem, and we look for Hashem, Hashem looks for us. And Hashem can find us quite often in the most difficult situations. And now we're on page Samach, and where he comes forth and says that the beauty of the Jew can be found on Tisha B'Av. Through all the sufferings that the Jews have had, this is an opportunity where the Jew can come forth. And on Tisha B'Av, we're not allowed to learn Torah, because it's a day where we limit the lights, and therefore it's impossible to learn Torah. And therefore, if you can't learn Torah and you can't have the light, so what are you supposed to do? It's really a day of building up the utensil. Remember, the kli is so small, it can't take the light. So it's a day of building up the kli. It's a day of building up the utensil. And that is why it's called a moed. It's called a simcha, because there's no greater simcha than building up your kli. If you have a big enough kli, then Hashem can shine more light on you. If you don't have a big enough kli, big enough utensil, Hashem can't shine the light on you. So this is the day, as I believe we're on the third paragraph, on page Samach, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth paragraph, the second Tisha B'Av, one. B'Tisha B'Av yesh makom l'simcha. And Tisha B'Av is a place for simcha. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzo son, because Hashem finally finds us. Aval yachad im zos kama gedola hi b'chia. But at the same time, how great is the crying? Im kidei limtzas a Yehudi tzricha l'salag menes kol haaretz. In order to find the Jew, we have to remove so much of the light. Tzrichim lachnisa l'machanas hashmada. We have to take him into death camps. And then we're able to find a Yid. Al kach anu bochim. So that's why we're crying at the same time. Lama lo matzanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Pesach. Why couldn't we find Hashem on Pesach? Lama lo matzanos b'Sukkos. Why couldn't we find Him on Sukkos? Lama rak b'Tisha B'Av anu motzim. So why only on Tisha B'Av do we find Him? Zeu avodas hayom. This is the service of the day of Tisha B'Av. Yoim Godol v'Kodesh, a great and holy day. Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Motzei Osanu. This is the day that Hashem is looking for us and hopefully will find us. V'leinu la'avod b'yom zeh on the Kudas HaYehudi. And we have to work on this day on the point of being a Jew. Ki b'yom zeh anu nivchanim on the Kudas HaYehudi Shabbana. Because on this day we are being tested to see what kind of Jewish point do we have. And he explains in an interesting way. B'chol ha'chagim v'amu'adim, in all the Jewish holidays, anuchnu smechim, we're all happy. Avol adayin ein zeh hochacha l'dveikus amidus b'kodesh Baruch Hu. But this doesn't really prove to us that there's a true bonding with Hashem. Why? Ki b'chasana kol echad yochel lismoch l'rikod. Because at a wedding, everybody's able to be happy and dance. Kal l'rikod b'simchas ter b'purim. It's easy to dance on Simchas Torah in Purim. Kal lismach b'Pesach. It's easy to be happy on Pesach. V'afil efshar litzoik b'tfus yom nirayim. And maybe it's even a little bit easier to cry out when you're davening on the high holidays. In other words, when everybody's having a good time, so to speak, it's easier to get involved in that. You know, you go over to the bar, have a few drinks at a wedding, and then everything's fine. Right? You know, Shabbos, what's there not to like about Shabbos? You could sleep the whole day, you could have good food, be with your family. I mean, it's, you know, on many levels, you can enjoy Yom Tov. Ach amivchan hu b'Tisha B'Av. But the real test is B'Tisha B'Av. Why? Because b'levaya boiche rak mi shemargish karov. Because at a levaya, who cries? Only people who really sense and feel closeness to the people involved. You know, that's why you go to these secular funerals. You officiate a secular funeral. It's the most frustrating thing. There's no emotion at these funerals. As a matter of fact, they really look for, you know, the real good eulogy at a secular funeral. So you make a few jokes and people laugh, and then that was a good eulogy. It's very, very, very rare that you get tears at a secular funeral. You know, okay, you'll get maybe the widow and one or two people, but nobody else is going to cry. Right? So at a levaya, you really can tell who's close. Those are the ones that cry. If somebody can truly feels some kind of closeness to Hashem, then Margish Bitzarm Shal Yisrael feels the pain of the Jewish people. So Zocha Shukar Vakadosh Baruch Hu, he remembers that he is supposed to be close to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the real test on Tisha B'Av, is to find the Jew who cries out to Hashem in a real way. That's the real test to see if you're finding the Jew. And unfortunately, we're less and less Jews are crying on Tisha B'Av as time passes. So that's the real challenge of being able to find that Jew. And we'll talk about more about that tonight. Page Samach Aleph. Lahat'im esa adam le'or. So we've got to get the person to be compatible to that light. V'zohi avodas hayom. This is the service of this day. Liskor sheha adam karav la'kadosh baruch hu. Person has to remember that a person is very close to Hashem. And likewise, vice versa. Ulahatim esa masim litzura shela yehudi. And the actions that he does has to be suitable for the shape of how a Jew is supposed to look. Im hashulchan aruch bidvar Hashem sagar lanas agamor biyomze. If the code of Jewish law, which is really the word of Hashem, we don't have prophets nowadays to tell us how to behave. So the Shulchan Aruch is our prophet, and it tells us how to behave. And the Shulchan Aruch has told us that it's time to close the Gemara on this day. And we don't close the Gemara, as we said, for very few things. Again, we don't appreciate this because our Gemaras are closed most of the time anyway. So, you know, the one time, you know, it's not disheartening for me, but it's disheartening for Hashem. Like when between Mincha Marv and I decide to learn some Rambam between Mincha Marv, like half the people walk out because all of a sudden they have important things to do. I judge them favorably. I assume they're all going out to have a different shir and not interested in Rambam. But, you know, for Mamish, it's going to be the terrible pain of 20 minutes. You know, and some of them are like students, you know, because they hate school. So if when anybody's going to get up to teach Torah, they connote it with something that I hate to do. It's the Rachmanis, believe. It's not my COVID. It's just the pain that Hashem must feel that when the rabbi's out to say, to learn Rambam with people. And as a matter of fact, it was fairly interesting halachas of Rambam. But it's like, out you go. Such as me, it's Rabbi Tal. You know, I was in the Bayit, and many more people, you know. And between Milchamar, we've got like 100 people there. It's between Milchamar. And there they only speak maybe 8 minutes. You know, the whole between Milchamar is 8 minutes at the Bayit. And like 50, 60, 70 people, they all pack it out for a whole 8 minutes just to have a bull session. You know. So it's like we don't, so it's like Tisha B'Av, you don't learn. It's a simcha. It's as simple as we're not learning. You know, like we're like totally like not getting this idea over here that learning Torah really is an unbelievable simcha of being close to Hashem. So for those few who really love learning Torah because they know that is what gets them close to Hashem. So the Shulchan Aruch. So we at least have to understand what the real essence of the halacha is at least, right? So the Shulchan Aruch comes along and says, you know, got to close the Gemara today. Or any other sefer, for that matter, right? And so, you know, if you look at the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, when it talks about, you know, you're supposed to learn Torah whenever you have a free minute, and if there's reasons not to learn Torah, there better be pretty good reasons. Okay, so there's a wedding of a hachnasas kala, a poor bride, a poor groom. No one's going to be able to marry them off. You close the Gemara and marry them off. That's important because you have to be able to procreate the world, and that's a very important mitzvah. If somebody's dying, chas v'shalom, you close the Gemara. You know, a good business deal comes up, you don't close the Gemara. Yeah, but you don't close the Gemara. Well, people don't know that. They just, what are you talking about? But a person who feels connected to Hashem says, you don't close the Gemara unless it's really important. So, you know, there's no yontif where we close the Gemara. The Gemara is open on every yontif. You know, in spite of all the joy and happiness, you still got to learn Gemara or Chumash or Rashi, whatever. So comes Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara is closed. So it must be it's really important. So whose life are we saving? The answer is trying to save our own lives. We're trying to save our own lives because as we've mentioned in the past, the whole idea of Bacharta B'chaim, I spoke about it 2 years ago on Tisha B'Av, if you recall. Not to recall, especially on Tisha B'Av, what we say. It's a little tired. And I remember it was a very hot night. It was in the school, in the classroom, in room 107. It was really crowded. It was really hot. People were dying away. But we talked about the idea of Bacharta B'chaim, choose life. And how do you choose life? You have to choose every moment between doing the Ratzon Hashem or not doing the Ratzon Hashem. And every time you don't choose the Ratzon Hashem, you're choosing death. You're killing yourself. And every moment you choose the Ratzon Hashem, you'll choose life. By the time we get to Tisha B'Av, we've gone through, 85% of the year. And unfortunately, many of us have chosen death much too often. So why is that so? Why is all that so? Because we don't feel close to Hashem. It's plain and simple. We do not feel close to Hashem. So if we felt close to Hashem, there's a great phenomenon that occurred in the last 2 days. Swept the Jewish world. A tremendous, tremendous prosecution against the Jewish people occurred in the last 2 days. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Especially Nebuchadnezzar against our children. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Harry Potter. Harry Potter came as Mamish, all the kids. It's like the Mashiach came. This was it. This is Mamish the Mashiach. I'll talk about this tomorrow during the Kinas. But it was like Mamish the Mashiach came Saturday night. It was like unbelievable. From Yidden. Okay, I'm not going to get into the different levels of Yiddishkeit. Some arranged to have the thing delivered. You can get the books delivered automatically. Okay. They come to your door on Shabbos in the morning. So those quote-unquote modern Orthodox Jews we didn't drive, and what's wrong with reading it on Shabbos? Because they've been reading it on Shabbos. Let's say even a little frumer, when they waited till Motzei Shabbos. But I mean, Mamish, by now, and this is like a 750-page book. But this was it. This was the last one. Is Harry going to die? Is he not going to die? Is Mamish, is the Mashiach coming or not? We've gone through six tough books, and five movies already. Wow, we have such a kesher with Harry. It's like unbelievable. If he's going to die, people are going to cry. Mamish, tears are going to flow if he dies. And if he lives and he beats the wicked chveis. I haven't Mamish looked at it. Mamish, I don't know anything about it. It's just a bunch of wizards. That's all I know. I don't know anything about it. But it's like all the frum kids. They're eating it. I mean, listen, okay. It's better than other things, but it's like the passion with it. It's like Mamish ain't a mafsik. They can't put it down. They can't eat. They can't do anything till you're going to read that book. Now, you're going to say, so what's so bad about it? All right, tomorrow we'll talk about what's so bad about it. But on a simple level, Hashem's going to say one thing. Did you ever pick up a sefer with such passion? Did you ever learn any Torah with such passion? And it's going to be more of an indictment against the parents than against the kids, because obviously, the kids only do what the parents allow and what the parents show that they have passion for. So the kids look, what are their parents excited about? Mamish. Do they ever see a father says, I can't come to dinner now because there's a piece of chumash here. I don't understand pshat in the story here. I don't understand how Shema let the donkey talk to Bilam. I don't understand how this happened. I can't eat because I don't understand what God's talking about over here. It's bothering me so much. I'm in the middle of Sefer Shoftim. I'm in the middle of Pilegesh Begiva. I don't know what's going to happen. Tribe Binyamin's going to get wiped out. What's going to happen to them? I got to read the next chapter. I don't think there's too many parents ever come to their kids and tell them how what's going to be. It's mamish a frum book that you're going to get Olam Haba for reading that this up parent couldn't put the sefer down. Don't see it. So Harry Mamish it's everything for them, right? So it's just a sad indicator of where the Yiddish Jewish people are. And I know you're going to say, what's so bad about it? Okay, even I don't even know about it. I'm sure there's all kinds of negative innuendos in it, but I don't, it can't be a book nowadays not written with negative innuendos. Okay, even if not, and even if it's a totally kosher book, but it doesn't get you closer to the Kodesh Baruch. Okay, kid has to read a, you have to read a little bit, Okay, a little bit, but if the way it mamish takes to get, and if there would be another Harry Potter, they just keep going. You know, Baruch Hashem is the last one. Nice. Or Baruch Hashem, she's retiring from writing more Harry Potters. You know, so it'll be another Mishigas. But the point is, it shows that we're not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the day of Tisha B'Av. So Baruch Hashem, you know, I think it's mamish the 9 days even. It's like people ask me, you know, you're not supposed to have simcha during the 9 days. And kids are having more simcha than anything else they could have been doing during the 9 days. It's like mamish, the ultimate simcha they could have. And mamish comes out 2 days before Tisha B'Av, and every Jewish kid's reading it. It's like unbelievable. Beis HaMikdash, what? Who cares about the Beis HaMikdash? But we have to know. Okay, you know, it's, I'm telling you, it's, you ask around, you know, and it's even older kids, even adults who are married have to read it. It's unbelievable. If you're not in it, Baruch Hashem, then it's a good sign. It's a good sign. You may not know what I'm talking about, but it's unbelievable. Monday Shabbos, all, you know, from kids lining up at Shabbos Drug Mart to get a Harry Potter. It's, again, I'm not saying, you know, they're doing, you know, they're not, it's not murder, it's not immorality. It's just telling us what we're excited about. You know, Shlomo Melech said, you want to know where a person is, know what he gets excited about. Know what he gets excited about. Who gets excited about a shtickle Torah? You know, nobody's excited about a shtickle Torah. Once in a while. But who gets, but Harry, that was it, man. So now, at least on Tisha B'Av, right? Tisha B'Av, what do we have to do? You know, on the chitzus ha'dvarim, livnas es tzuras ha'yehudi shebanu. We have to build up the Jew that's inside of us. We have to build up the Jew. That's the day of Tisha B'Av. I'll emphasize again, it's not so much a day of classes. Again, if your mom is such a green Baal Tshuva that you don't know how to do anything on Tisha B'Av, so you should go to classes. But after a while, you have to stop with the classes on Tisha B'Av. Even the classes are counterproductive. When you're at a certain level already, you got to do what you've been avoiding a whole year long. Really start talking to yourself. Got to avoid, you know, you're avoiding doing that hour and that 7 hours. You've been avoiding it for every good excuse in the book. You're not going to have any excuses on Tisha B'Av because you can't go to work on Tisha B'Av. I know you find a leniency, but what if you have to after Chatzos? So it'll be those who are going to get out of it with the after Chatzos leniency. You know, but one thing's for sure, if your wife died, you wouldn't be going to work after Chatzos, after the Levaya. God forbid. If your husband died, you wouldn't. That's just the basic English. It's okay. We can go to work as a heter. I have a leniency. I can go. But you know why? Because we don't want to go through the pain. I have nothing to do. Yeah, you have nothing to do. You got to really make a cheshbon nefesh. You know, you got to build up the kli that's inside of ourselves, so maybe Hashem could shine a little light on us when Mashiach's going to come. But Dareinu Baruch Hashem. Sorry for being a little harsh, but it is the day before Yom Kippur, so it's. Trying to be a Tisha B'Av, I got to be a little harsh on myself too. Bilreinu Baruch Hashem Yeshar Beitara. In our generation, thank God, there's a lot of Torah. Yeshan Harbi Yeshivas, there's a lot of Yeshivas. Harbi Sheifas Lilmod Velikdul B'Torah. There's, and he's talking to the real Frumis now, right? There's great yearnings to learn Torah, to grow in Torah. Aval Aleinu Lase Zadas, but we have to, you know, take it to our minds to think about. We have to know, are we in the same measure to the amount of Torah that we're learning, are we progressing and growing in essentially being a Jew in our actions? Okay, in other words, our wisdom may be a lot. And that was the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that he said earlier. Someone whose actions are greater than his wisdom will endure. And his actions are not as great as his wisdom will not endure. So, you know, there might be a lot of Torah being learned, but are the real actions of how a Jew is supposed to live, are they really enduring? Are the actions, that's really showing what kind of receptacle we have. What kind of utensils are those actions matching up to the kind of Jew that we are? Novi Dugma, let me give you an example. Musuper, they tell a story, could be Yeshivaso Shel Chassam Sofer, in the yeshiva, the Chassam Sofer in Pressburg. The Chag HaShavuos, comes the Chag HaShavuos, Baboker in the morning, after being up all night learning Torah. The custom is to be up all night learning Torah. So it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, they're starting to daven. And it's now 5:30, they're coming up right before the Shema. Amres tefilas, v'chakeshuvos b'boker, Amres tefilas Ava Rabba. They would say the one paragraph of Ava Rabba, Hashem loves us. The Meshach Sholoshos would take them 3 hours to say that prayer. I guess they didn't make it to Vasikin. They didn't make it to sunrise. Because I doubt they started at 2 o'clock in the morning. All right? 3 hours to say one prayer. Okay? You know, I can imagine what they were thinking about. Hemanachnu mizdaim imasiperse. Do we even relate to this story? Do we even identify with this story? We think they're a bunch of people who live on a different planet. Mistaber shekein. Likely it's so. Kulano hayinu rotzim laharich b'shavuos b'voker. Lacher laila shalom etorbi slavas b'tilas avarabo. Right? You know, yeah, you know, all of us, you know, we'd like to, you know, take a little longer in the morning, shoes in the morning, right? You know, after learning a whole night with excitement, with energy, we come to Tfilas Ava Rabba. Avav Shalasos, what do we do? Shemispam Vasikin. We have to down Vasikin. Vasikin means it's a very auspicious thing to be able to start the morning Shmona Esrei right at the crack of sunrise. So it's usually around 5:30, 5:40. So, you know, we want to be able to daven Vasikin, to be able to get that beautiful moment of davening. So what do we got to do? So we're starting at 5. We're going to get to Vasikin at 5:35. How many? Maybe an extra minute. I don't have time for 3 hours. I'm going to blow my whole Vasikin. V'yeshrak shtei dakos. There's only 2 minutes. So, you know, that's the problem. We're so worried about davening Vasikin. You know, so we're flying through the davening and doing whatever else. Halavaiva, you know, Silana Shalashosh, Litzak Mitechalev, it'd be much better, you know, if only we could spend 3 hours and to cry from our hearts and to say these words that are found in Ava Rabba. V'sein b'libeinu b'ino lahavinu lahaski lishmo lilmod lalamid is kol divrei salmoter sechviyavo. Hashem, put in our hearts the wisdom and understanding and the intelligence to hear and to learn and to teach all the words of your Torah with love. It would be an amazing thing if we could do this. And it's much more important than davening kifasikin. Much more important to do that. And we're all half dead on Shavuos morning. It's like mamish. It's like we're mamish dead. We're dying. It's killing ourselves. Right? Luma Zos, on the other hand, Haim Yesh Mishu Amuchan Lomer B'meshach Sholosh Shos Esfilas Elokai Neshama. On the other hand, so forget it. Let's say it's not fasikin. Let's take any prayer. Can we spend 3 hours on Elokai Neshama? A God, you restored my soul, and you're going to take it away, and one day you're going to bring it back. Haim Libenu Mismali Beregesh Elodol Kadosh Baruch Hu Kishonu Omrim Baruch Atah Hashem Olam Pakei Chivrim. Are our hearts filled with feeling of praise and thanksgiving to Hashem when we say any one of the brachos? Let's say the one of He gives me sight, Pakei Chivrim. So what's the point He's trying to make over here? You know, like these stories, like, it's not even we don't even relate to. We wouldn't even want to do this. We wouldn't even want to do this. Like, we would say that this is such a waste of time, or the excuse is always, I'm not there yet. It's, we never look at that as being the most glorious thing I could ever do. It's better, I get more fun. So, you know, every adult has his Harry Potter, okay? So you're not relating to Harry Potter. You know, yeah, but everybody has the Harry Potter. That they'd rather do that than something else. Right, that there is something you're willing to put 3 hours into, right? So, but for Elokai Neshama, it ain't going to happen. So, Nachan Torah Hiayikar. The truth is, yeah, we all know that Torah is the main thing. Hiayor, this is the light. You know, so like a Shuish can spend a whole night learning Torah and bringing in more light. But that's the whole point. So, see the incongruity. You know, you spend a whole night learning Shavuos, you bring in so much light. Now, that's the question, if you bring in so much light as well. but you know, assuming people are, you know, learning the whole night, bring in so much light. So davening is the time to make the kli. And the davening, you know, as fast as we can, let's get out of here. Because I'm too tired. Okay, I recognize it's hard, and we're tired, and this and that. But that's the real time to build the kli on Shavuos. You got the light, so where's the kli? There's got to be congruity over there. So, you have to to develop that utensil, that it can contain that amazing light. So his, you know, main contention, you know, is he's talking to yeshiva bachrim who are learning a lot of Torah. He's speaking to the frumer people out there who are learning a lot of Torah. He says, "Ha'or ha'gadol shel haTorah shebedoreinu." So the great light of the Torah that we have in our generation, where on the one hand there is a lot of Torah being learned in this generation. It's, you know, our children are going to day schools and are learning much more than, you know, probably are more children today learning Torah than at any time in Jewish history. I don't know if the quality of the Torah is the same necessarily, but it's, you know, a lot better than in certain times. And with adults, people in kollels, I mean, you know, there's a lot of Torah being learned. So zakuk lekli matim, it needs a utensil that's very, very appropriate, that is congruous to the type of light that comes, that's compatible. Litzur shel Yehudi, that really suits the shape of a Jew. Hachayim hapshutim, the simple life. Shekol hametzias shel, that his whole reality. Vachila, vashasia, hatfila, vabrachas, the way we ate, the way we drink, the way we daven, the blessings we make. Hakol mitoch dveikas v'kodesh b'ruach Hu. Everything has to come from our connection to Hashem. Yesterday morning we were learning Mishnah Berurah. We're learning the halachas of there's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, a whole chapter in Shulchan Aruch of proper conduct, how to eat during a meal. And as we go through this, we're all realizing how far away we are from this. Again, this is not a halacha that if you do it, it's a sin, so to speak. But it's the kind of behavior that will bring you to sin. There's no sin in how you eat, but the way you eat will bring you that. You will sin from other things, from that. You know, when you come to this halacha that, you know, you can't hold on to a piece. First of all, there's one halacha you're not supposed to eat when you're standing. You know, I go tell this to people now. I say, we live in a world of fast food. You walk in the street, stop at a red light, you'll always see somebody eating a pizza as they're crossing the street. You know, so what's wrong? What's wrong with it? What's eating a pizza? I made a bracha on it even. But you got to realize that a cow eats wherever he goes. A person doesn't. A person doesn't. That's the same thing too. Same thing. Okay, we all do it. I'm just, at least let's recognize, you know, once a year what we're doing wrong. Okay, you know, there's a halacha. You can't take a piece of bread and eat from it if it's bigger than a kebaya. Okay, how big is that? You know, not that big. Yeah, this big. You can't hold on to a whole piece like that. You know, so according to halacha, you really shouldn't be holding a big slice of pizza and eating it from the side of the pizza. So what's wrong with that? Because that's not how a yid eats. That's not how a human being is supposed to eat. You're supposed to use a fork and knife. The whole idea of a fork and knife, why do we have a fork and knife? Who introduced utensils to the world, if not the Jews in the Mishkan? Right? They didn't use fork and knives in Mitzrayim. You know, why would the Torah go to such detail to tell you in the Torah about forks and knives? Like, who cares? Just say bring a cork. They say that fork and knife is an important thing, Mister. You know, when you're having food, you know. Okay. So guys came to and started this little chazar. You know, when I was little, you know, I used to watch Dagwood Bumstead, Dagwood and Blondie. I don't remember what the show was called. I remember Dagwood. What was the show called? I don't remember. It was called Dagwood, anyways. This is going back early 60s, and those are the repeats already from the 50s, I imagine, right? The famous Dagwood sandwich, right? Dagwood, like, the whole kunst of the show was, see, certain shtusim you can never get out of your head. It's terrible, right? So you know, he made a sandwich, and it would take him like a week to make the sandwich, like a real mom. and then something, a calamity would happen. He could never get to the sandwich, you know, or the dog would eat the sandwich. So the happy ending was always Dag would finally mamish after the ordeal, was able to mamish eat the sandwich. That was like the happy ending, and you see his mouth open up the size of San Francisco, like, you know, how can you contain that sandwich, you know. A submarine sandwich. So now we have, you know, super subs. You know, it's like to eat forever. You know, so a yid doesn't eat that way. It's just not that the halacha is. You can't be more than a kebaya you know, a size of an egg, or even 2 eggs. We say the eggs are small nowadays. Of the food in your hand when you're eating, or even, you know, it has to be cut down into small pieces when you eat. So now, if you tell this halacha, people say you're crazy. Falafels. How about a regular sandwich? A regular sandwich. You can't. You know, that's why, you know, when we were little, you know, so what do real frum people do? You always cut the sandwich in quarters. It's not because the kid's little. It's because that's what you're supposed to eat. If you're gonna, a sandwich, the Earl of Sandwich, I don't think, was a Jew. If there was such an Earl of Sandwich. Please, I don't know. He wasn't a Yid. A Yid wouldn't make up a sandwich. A Yid wouldn't. A pizza comes from Italy, not from Yerushalayim. Falafel comes from the Arabs, not from Yerushalayim. Pita, falafel. It's not a Yiddish azach. You know, spaghetti from Italy, you know, mounds of piles of spaghetti, you know, there's the mound of spaghetti, and you twirl the spaghetti thing. So you probably have more than a kebaya of noodles on the thing, because there's a whole art to making the biggest thing with, you know. Hey, so what food came from Yerushalayim already? What, you know, the halacha is you can't even take an apple. An apple is more than a kebaya. And just take an apple and bite into an apple. It's not a Yiddish shazach. You have to cut into. You make the bracha on the whole apple, and then you cut it. What are we doing? What do we do every Shabbos, Friday? A big challah. You can't take. You're not going to take a challah like that and eat it. You have to cut it. Cut it into a small piece. Yeah, it says they are Robson. You're going to be a glutton, eating like a glutton. So why is an apple different than a challah? We don't associate it because we didn't see our parents cut apples, right? But you know, there's some Europeaners that's what they do. You know, my mother-in-law, blessed memory, she always served the kids cut up apples with sugar. Never gave a kid a whole apple. Never, just never was such a thing, right? So you know, you make a brach on the apple, then you cut it. I mean, like it's so strange. It's so strange for us. Like, that's not normal. It's not normal. But that's the way a behemoth eats. A behemoth, right? So as we're giving the class, like everything starts dawning on everybody. What about corn on the cob? You can't eat corn on the cob the way it is. And somebody mentioned yesterday, yeah, in the old country, they threw corn to the horses. Corn is for horses, not for people. So a horse eats the whole thing. I don't know if he eats the cob too, his stomach eats the whole, I don't know. You know? So now, so imagine, you have a barbecue. I mean, this whole idea of a barbecue. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a barbecue. Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a barbecue. It has to be a Yiddish barbecue. You know, the whole idea with a hamburger on a bun, that's not a Yiddish shazach. That's more than a kebab. I got a big, big, big hamburger. It's not a Yiddish shazach. And we all do it. I'm not saying I'm any better than anybody else. You know?
It's steaks only. Carbonates.
You know? So what was? What did we have in the base? There were no. So, you know, you ate this. The only time where there's a sandwich is by Kairach. And by that, nobody's enjoying that sandwich. No one's enjoying that sandwich. Once a year is a Korach sandwich. And that's as a mitzvah. Only as a mitzvah to eat a sandwich. Never any other time. So I started thinking, you know, a normal Jewish barbecue is mamish. Where's barbecues come? It's a Goy Shazach. I'm not saying you can't enjoy, it's healthier even to barbecue the meat. And I'm not saying you can't barbecue a steak. But you have to barbecue the steak, but eat it like a Yid afterwards. You know, to take a bottle of beer. You know, imagine a standard barbecue. Can you imagine? You make hamburgers and hot dogs. It's all more than a kibbutzah. It's all more than a kibbutzah, right? And you got a beer that you're taking from the bottle. You know, it's also the same. You know, it should be from a cup. You know, all these things, and then you're getting this corn on the cob. Everything, and it becomes like the eating becomes the key. It's like mamish everything. As long as everything. And God wants you to enjoy your food and wants you to love every morsel that you eat, but to eat as a person, not like a cow. Right? So it's, how did I get onto this? I don't know how I stumbled onto this now. But there's a way that a Jew is supposed to live. And for us, that's so far. I remember now, I looked at my rebbe when they would eat breakfast, they would eat lunch. You know, they ate that way. We were bachim, we ate like a bunch of behemoths. You know, 16, 17, 18 years old. You're hungry. You just want to eat. But you know, there's a way that they ate. You know, cutting certain things instead of just wolfing it down. So there's a certain way, there's a certain lifestyle that Jews are meant to have. Because why? Because when you're connected to Hashem, you realize you don't act like an animal. That's the point. So what's, Rabbi, what's wrong with having a hamburger sandwich already? Who did I kill? I didn't even watch even a dirty movie. What do you want from me already? But it's an animalistic thing. That the food is that important, that it has to be so large, that your hands are mamish, a two-fisted burger. You know, these lashinus, these goyish expressions. You know, the Whopper. Remember that one? Do they still have it? I don't know. The Whopper. Big Mac. Like the names. It's like, it's how important the food is. Right? And I remember when I was a kid, it takes two hands to handle a Whopper. Remember that one? You know? Burger King. Okay, I couldn't remember which one gets credit for that. Right? Nothing should take two hands when it comes to it. It takes two hands to do Hagba. That's what it takes two hands to do, not to handle a Whopper. You know? That's what your two hands were meant to handle, not a Whopper. So the whole thing, if you felt close to Hashem, you'd understand this. No one would have to tell you this. Of course, you know, you're eating. Eating is a very ignoble activity. So we try to elevate it as much as possible. I'm a godly person who never has to eat. I have to eat, okay. And I want to enjoy. I want to get close to Hashem from the taste. And I'll focus on the taste. And I'll think of Hashem. If you're thinking of Hashem when you're eating, you're not eating that way. That's the halacha. So is it a sin? It's not a sin. But if you're not thinking about Hashem, then other things come in life that become. And then after the barbecue, you start talking Lashon Hara. You see? And then talking Lashon Hara is because you're an animal. If you knew you were close to Hashem, you wouldn't talk Lashon Hara. But I have to. It's such a good piece of Lashon Hara. So that's the problem. After the barbecue is the problem, not during the barbecue. Okay, so that's what he's saying. This whole idea of feeling close to Hashem, right, you get this amazing light. So the Jew's behavior has to match that up. Efshar Liros, Bachar Yeshiva, Shalom et Harbi, Maven Levi. You can look at a Bachar Yeshiva. He learns a lot. He understands. But how does he act when he leaves the Beis Medrash? Oh, you guys don't know this stuff. I know all this stuff. Bipnimi on the dormitory, but Beis in his house, Berchov on the streets. Yesham Avrechim Lamdom, you have Kollel guys who are learning Shaitim al Talmudim. They really learn Choyzim Mishanim, they review and they chazer. But at night, he has to listen to the news. We'll talk about that tonight. So we're not going to even forbidden things. We're not talking about CNN. Right? It has nothing to do with the Jew who's connected to Hashem. Okay, there's more to talk about. We'll save you. Well, whatever we didn't finish, we'll maybe finish tonight. Amir Tzashem, we should be zayecha to a Tisha B'Av where we talk and can build our kli a little bit and build up that utensil so that one day Amir Tzashem, Hashem should bring us back the light that we're waiting for. Bereser Hashem Yisbar.